With me is a lovely hymn to sing. There are two readings this morning. The first one is from Isaiah chapter 43, 19 to 21. We'll start off with this one. Okay. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim praise. And our second reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 21, the first five verses, and it's entitled The New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.
Now, I know I am supposed to be doing the whole service, but I have cheated because by chance last Sunday I was talking to Bev and Sue and discovered that Bev had a couple of spare days at the end of the week because Sue was away. So I jumped in quickly and said, would you like to do part of my talk? And luckily he agreed. So you're not going to have to listen to me all the time, and I'm not going to pretend to, you know, to do a sermon. I'm not a preacher, but I just wanted to bring you a few thoughts on new, creating a new thing. The references that you had on the screen were specifically because they both mentioned new. I am making everything new. And although we're not making everything new here, we are doing some new things. So that's why I chose those readings. Okay, right. Now, I love words. Okay, so what you've got on the screen is a picture of one of the windows. Does anybody recognise it?
CCA.
Yeah. One of the windows at the CCA shop. And we got a picture of the other one as well. And Mari very kindly wrote down all the words that go around the edges. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked at those, but next time you're there, have a look and take time to read them. You will notice something, that all of the words do start with the same two letters. So when you have a look at them, just see what you think. Now, I haven't done a PowerPoint for quite a few years, but I thought I'd have a go. And so our first slide, thank you, Graham. Now, we're all encouraged to recycle, aren't we? So I thought we'd just have this one just as a reminder of one of the words that is on the CCA window, recycle. We have separate boxes or bags for different things, depending on whether you live in Reading or in West Berkshire, and it can get very, very confusing. But we know why we're doing it, don't we? And we try our best, our very best, to recycle all the things that we can so that we're not wasting things. Thank you. Okay, so these are some of the words that are written on the windows in the CCA shop. I know I've repeated one, so before Christian tells me that I've got restart twice, because he's bound to notice. So we've got reuse, renew, recycle, repair, restart, revive, rebuild, refresh, renew again, repair, restart again. What do you think all those words suggest? Yeah, using something again. So again, making something new out of something else. Not letting things go to waste. Reuse what you can, repair what you can instead of throwing things away and so on. Well, I had reason recently to look through some services that I'd done over the years here at the Mission and Southcote Family Church. And a couple of things struck me. I didn't realise that I'd spoken so often on so many subjects and passages of the Bible when I led services, and I didn't realise how many times this church has been through difficult situations involving change and upheaval. We've certainly had our challenges here over the past 60 years. Back in 2013, I experienced a very strong sense that God was speaking to me. Now, this isn't something that happens often to me, and I can't honestly say that I actually heard anything. But, of course, God can speak to us in a variety of ways, or maybe in no recognizable way, and we shouldn't feel unloved or unwanted by God if our experience is different to that of other people that we know or hear of. It can be sometimes a bit disconcerting when people say that they've had words from God and you've never had that. But I quote from what I wrote about it at the time. This is what I wrote. This came to me one night just before I was going to sleep. The suddenness of this happening was very much as I had experienced once before in the back room here at the Mission over 20 years ago. Which eventually led to my baptism. So I was remembering back into the 90s. On that occasion, there were no words, just a sudden peace as something entered my heart and my body. And that was in the back room just before a holiday club morning. Both incidents had similarities and yet were in completely different circumstances. The first one was for me personally, but this second one seemed to me to be for what was then the Mission. So I quote again from what I wrote about that night. These are the words that came to me. Renew, refresh, revitalize. And those words came across loud and clear. And it was as if the words were encased in a perfect calmness and clarity and peace and space. And I'm so glad I wrote that down at the time because I would never have remembered all of that at all. And I remember thinking at the time, though, what am I supposed to do with this? Was this a word, or rather three words from God? How could I be sure? Well, I wasn't, but I don't know how else they came into my head in such a distinct and clear way. So our first word is renew. Now, when I heard these words in my head, this church was going through a particularly difficult time. We had lost, for want of a better word, our pastor. James had been appointed here, a vibrant young man with a lovely fiancée who was going to lead us forward in a very positive way. It was his first position as leader of a church, and it was an exciting time for him. However, things didn't work out. But when James first came to us, I had a very real sense of the Mission having the opportunity of being renewed and refreshed. And I personally felt revitalized with regards to the work here. Plans had been made and laid out, and things were looking very promising. And when all this fell apart, I, like many others, was stunned and couldn't see how we could possibly be renewed or refreshed. Now, some of the people that were fundamental at the time in James's appointment and then when it all failed are no longer here, Phil, I think, had gone, but Dave Long certainly was here. Time and time again, we've been faced with challenges, causing us to question ourselves, to ask God why things keep going the way we hadn't expected or wanted. Now, I can't talk for anyone else, but it's taken me a long time to realise that maybe we needed to rest more on what God was telling us instead of racing ahead with our own plans. Maybe, as a church, we were learning an important lesson. It made me think of the early church and how confusing and baffling everything must have been for Jesus' disciples, who found themselves in complete disbelief over what had happened to Jesus. Many changes needed to take place, and the Acts of the Apostles tells us how Matthias was chosen to replace Judas Iscariot, and how the Holy Spirit came to them at Pentecost. What a difficult time for these new believers. And there followed a time of regrouping, of rearrangement and renewal for these faithful followers. So I'm just going to read Acts 2, 1 to 5, because it tells of how confused these mourning disciples were renewed by the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Thank you. And a quote from Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not faint. So we need to remember and think of these words as we think of renewal in our lives and in the life of our church. Now, in the early church, hundreds of people were baptized. What better form of renewal than a baptism? Life in many ways was less complicated back then, and planning what Sunday would be best for a baptism didn't really come into the equation. In many instances, they just got on and did it. Paul was one example, wasn't he? On the road to Damascus, he was blinded. He then, when he got his sight, he immediately was baptized. Well, we're going to have a baptism here in a few weeks, as you know, and it strikes me that this will be exciting in many ways. It's going to be an exciting time for the person being baptized. And here's a chance for Lee and anyone else, if they decide they want to be baptized, to be renewed, to become a new creation. But for us as well, it's a time for us to be renewed and refreshed through someone else's baptism. And many of you here will have been baptized in this baptistry. I remember my baptism here, and I especially remember Tom's words from Proverbs, Dave standing in the water, my family and friends here. So let's look forward to the 5th of October with joy for Lee, but let's also think of it as a reminder and a renewal for us all, reminder of what God's done for each and every one of us through the death of his precious son. Now, the second word was refresh. So how can we refresh ourselves? How did Jesus refresh himself? If you're very busy, maybe some of you have had jobs, still are in jobs, where you are in danger of getting burnt out, where you begin to lose the passion and commitment that maybe you've once had for your job. And some people take sabbaticals, they take time out from their routine and they do something different that will help them to refresh and recharge those batteries. So we need to think of how we can stay fresh and open to what God tells us. We read in the Bible that Jesus often took himself away from the crowds and sometimes even from his disciples to spend time alone and with God in order to charge his battery, so to speak. Luke 5:16 tells us, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And Luke 21:37 says, "Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives." And Matthew's account of the story of Jesus walking on the water begins, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray." He often took himself away from daily life, from his teaching, his preaching, and spent that time alone and with God. He was refreshing his mind, clearing his head, ready for whatever was coming next. And we need to follow that example and come to God in prayer, maybe more often. We need to come clean before God, confess that sometimes we get things wrong, that sometimes we rely too much on ourselves instead of looking to him. And then maybe we will feel refreshed. Next one, please, Graham. "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." So if we're honest with God, that's the beginning for us of being refreshed. Now I'm going to invite Bev to come, and he's going to talk us, well, a little bit through the last of the words, which is revitalise, but I'm sure he'll have other things to say as well.
Well, I think Ray Warner would have had a very big smile on his face there, Judy. That was 10 words with R-E beginning, apart from the one used twice. I think you've been listening to him too long, but that's typical Ray Warner. When I had the chance to speak to Judy last week, I hadn't planned anything, and she said, "Would you be able to speak a little bit, perhaps, about the pantry that you work for?" I thought, yeah, why not? You've heard a lot about the pantry. We have witness to the fact that food is very generously and kindly left for people who need it. But it was about 20 months ago when Andy Dickens first came to the church here, and I was struck by his enthusiasm, his commitment, and his positive attitude. You've seen him here now a couple of times, I'm sure you've seen him, and he's still the same. And I felt then that God was speaking to my heart. There was something I could do. Now, the pantry at the time in Southcote was something that was going to be proposed about 6 months further down the line. But I still applied to Ready Food, who are the main umbrella. And I had to go on a training course about the pantry. But I also volunteered for the Ready Food, which entails delivering food parcels to people's houses. You go in too, and they have to receive clearance first from Reading Borough Council or whoever that they are entitled to this help, and every month they have to reapply for it. What I didn't realise as a newbie was that I was given the round with someone that no one really wanted to do, and that is driving a transit van in East Reading. Now, if you've ever been through Liverpool Road or Coventry Road, you'd realise how narrow those streets are. And you sometimes close your eyes and hope for the best that you're not going to scratch anything. And I have the greatest respect for these DPD people and the post office and the ambulance people, because how they get through those gaps, I'll never know. But however, I digress there. The parcels are made up by volunteers in the Bolton Road depot there. And they take into consideration the fact that it might be a single person, it might be a couple, maybe for a family. They take into account the dietary needs of the people there, and also they provide toiletries, nappies, and even cat and dog food as well if they have pets. So you go out with a parcel, you knock on the people's doors. Normally you ring ahead, so you have someone who is your co-pilot, as it were, and I'll say, "Look, ring ahead and just make sure if it's up 10 floors in a block of flats, you don't want to be carrying two heavy bags for a couple and then finding that they're not in." That always helps. But it's so refreshing when you knock on the door and the folks are so grateful to see you. And it restores their dignity and faith in others. There are people who care. And often you don't have a lot of time to speak. You just knock. Oh, good morning, Mrs. Smith. Your food parcel. Oh, thank you so much. And you have all you can do is give a smile and a friendly welcome. But sometimes God can use that. The other thing I got involved with from about December to March is beds for the night. And that what happens is that they provide shelters in churches and places where people can sleep there for the night. Again, they have to be approved. Drugs are strictly a no-no. Alcohol is forbidden on there. They are there to be provided with a bed for the night and a breakfast. And there are four churches that I was doing in the round. It's a 7 o'clock start. So it's early in the morning. You get there, you pick up the van, you go to your first church. In my case, it was the warehouse at Cumberland Road. Just as you go past the traffic lights and Cemetery Junction branches, you take the left as if you're going up towards Palmer Park, Wokingham. And there, I didn't know about this place, but it's called the warehouse. You pick up the mattresses that are rolled up there and then you deliver them. In our case, it was to the Abbey Baptist Church. It was nice that you get there, you get offered a coffee, sometimes a bacon roll, but you can sit there with the people and talk. And really, a lot of them have got very little to say because they have very little in their lives apart from walking the streets, taking drugs, whatever. You go and talk to them, you speak to them, you say anything, whatever, oh, it looks like it's going to be a nice day today, and you gradually can see them again the next week. Hello, how are you? And you can speak to them again, add a little bit more. So from the Abbey Baptist Church, you go on to Argyle. Okay, so you take the rolled mattresses and whatever, pick them up from the warehouse, and then you take them to Abbey Baptist Church. They are dropped there for their night there. Then you go to the Argyle Church, you do the same thing, and you pick them up and take them to Cerdic. Now, I didn't know what Cerdic meant, because obviously it's down St. Saviour's Road. I should have known, because my church, Old Church Carey, helped sort of form that part of the outfit. But it's churches in Reading drop in centre, and that's St. Saviour's Hall off Barclay Avenue. So really what Judy has been saying, the word that she used in her prayer was encouraging, is that you're renewing people's faith and trust. You're restoring their pride and dignity. And they're reviving their hope for a brighter future. And then, of course, the reason why I joined was the pantry. And it started off, we started off at the library at Coronation Square. Again, it's all made up of volunteers. There are people there who meet and greet you. If you've never been, they take your money. In this case now, it's £6. You get the tea and a coffee. You can chat while you're waiting. I noticed that Judy was there, and she comes in and she often chats about whatever people want to speak about. Ask them, are you okay? I saw you here last time. Whatever you want, just engage with them. And there's sometimes they might say, actually, I don't really want to speak today. I'm having a bad day. But other times, they are more than happy and friendly to sit alongside you and speak. There's a chance there to do that. And then there are personal shoppers. That's the role that I've been involved in. And what you do, you go into our main pantry there, and they have 3 hearts, 7 diamonds. The nice things like a roast chicken or a chicken or whatever will be a heart. You're allowed 3 hearts, but not the same, not meats again. You're only allowed 1 meat and then something else. But again, there's even books now. They've had books delivered by a printing firm, so the children now can feel involved, because as they go in with their parents, they can choose a book and they don't have to give it back. They can pass it on to a friend, and so they can keep that and come back next week and get another book, which is great, because a lot of these children cannot afford a book. It seems unbelievable, but this is it. But yet I marvel at God's generosity. How, you know, we try at the pantry, for instance, one of the diamonds, which is we try and encourage the children to have fruit, vegetables, and there are usually five or six choices. And we say, take as many of each thing, and it only counts as one diamond. They say, what, each? No, one diamond, because we want the children to be encouraged to eat fruit, fresh fruit and vegetables, rather than coming in and eating crisps. So The reason the pantry is also here is thanks to this church, because Reading Borough Council were charging at Coronation Square £3,000 a year for having to do that. These facilities don't come for free, but yet here at the church I've had expressions of love and thanks because people cannot believe that this church has opened its doors to them. So since the pantry is open, you look at our church as well. Judy said, it's been a hard time over the last few years. I feel we are getting refreshed, revived and revitalised as well. Don't think that your donations don't matter. A couple of tins of peas, you might think, well, that's all I can afford. But God can use it. We have a God that can make five loaves and two fishes go a long way. So it's not the size of your gift. It's a generous heart. And this church has welcomed this venture with open arms, and it delights God that we're prepared to give freely of our time, facilities in a church like this. In closing, I also have another verse from Proverbs. It's chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Which means that we are being generous to God, and he will be generous to us. We are doing that, and we honour him. Thank you.